Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino in the Mirror here on a gorgeous Thursday morning. 59 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 65 in Oshkosh. Coming your way at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app where we're on right now. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guests? Say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Get 0% interest for up to 60 months with zero money down and equal payments. Hurry. Offer ends on the 31st. Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com today.
I would guess there's a lot of Pella products in Ledgeview.
I would think so.
You know what I mean?
Because
that's such a cool, upscale, and you talk about these doors being an entrance, like, welcome to my home, with the different, you know, etched glass and different styles. I'm assuming that.
A lot of custom work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't hang with Ledgeview people, but I am today, so.
I used to be a Ledgeview person. You hang with me. We're with Mandy Wilkie, Area Director of Stroll Ledgeview. First, I got to read this text here. It says, drive up to the UP and check out the old mines. Bats fly out like crazy. Mark.
Really?
Yes. Up in Iron Mountain and some of those other places.
I will go for the leaves, but I will not go for the bats.
Now, Mandy, you walked in. The first thing you said was, I got a bat story.
I do. I have a bat story. So I was in my old house on Bay Settlement Road right by Weequahic Falls.
Oh, sure.
Nice.
I love that area right there.
It's a beautiful area. Beautiful view of the sunset every night. But we had a wraparound porch and big shutters on the windows.
Okay. I can see where this is going.
Yeah. I used to spray the shutters for bees, you know, wasps and bees, and I would spray the shutters. And I lived on that front porch. I was always on that early in the morning.
You bet.
Back off, it was pretty private, so I'd be out in my jammies watering my flowers, and I happened to peek up to look at what I thought was going to be a wasp nest, and I'm like, oh my god, that's a bird.
Yeah, and hanging upside down.
For some reason I thought that the wasp spray
I would think that would
so it does. It doesn't actually work. It actually makes them mad.
Okay, I could see that too.
And so now I'm in a covered porch, and I've sprayed this wasp. And I'm not even kidding. There's a little
sprayed the bat.
Yeah, there was a little decorative wheelbarrow with flowers in it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm spraying it, and I turn to go. Well, I don't turn. I'm running backwards. And it's flying at me, and I swear it became the size of a bald eagle when it's coming at your face.
Like, scary.
And I was probably saying not nice things, and it scared me so bad, but I couldn't get out of the porch because it was a covered porch. And I think they fly based on sonar or whatever, sound.
They can't really see, I guess, right?
I don't get it. But that was my bat story, and I'm glad I lived.
How did you get out of it?
I just ran back. I fell. I mean, you should have seen the bruises that I had, but I didn't die. I didn't get bit, but I never sprayed my shutters again.
No. Never ticked off a bat again.
No, nope.
They are. I'm sorry. You've never heard the word ookie or whatever.
No, they're
gross.
Have
you heard that word before? You heard
the word ookie,
haven't you?
No. Yeah. And
the funny thing
is that my ex-husband's name is Jason Wilkie. And apparently there's like a bat whisperer around here, and his name's Jason Wilkie. So
we would
get calls all the time. Like, can you come take care of our...
A bat whisperer.
Well,
really?
He comes and I think what they do is basically...
it's illegal to kill them.
Yeah, and they use like a cone to get... And I think all they do is send them to your neighbors, if I'm being honest.
Okay,
they
I believe that.
But if there's one, apparently there's a lot more.
Oh,
we would get calls for bats all the time. I'm like, nope, we can't help you. Trust me, you don't want me taking care of your bats.
Of all the places to call, this is not the one.
Because
no.
You can't get an exterminator because you can't kill them, so you get the whisperer.
Correct.
But there's a couple of those.
Because I don't think the fire department will go out anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They used to?
Yeah.
Unless you're Jim Schmidt and you call
if you're the mayor.
You got one in the fireplace.
I don't have enough clout for that.
Todd's got a good memory. No, that did happen. That did happen one time.
That's my bat story. Yeah. They look a lot bigger when they're in your face.
Well, like I said, just from when I was a little kid that once snapped at me like you did. From then on, I've always had a fear of bats.
Yeah.
We had one in our house when I was a little kid, and my dad's just like, go get the tennis rackets.
Oh, yeah, that is the best weapon.
Put on the baseball.
That is totally the way to do it. That is the way to do it.
I think my dad and his brother-in-law did that once, too, with, like, nets, fishing nets.
Well, fishing nets, maybe, but the tennis racket, you can plead self-defense. So.
You could have. It was coming right at you.
It was. If anybody saw it, it would have made lots of monies on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, tell us what's happening. You've got great things going on in Ledgeview. And what a great, I don't know how you got this idea to do it. I remember last time we had you in here and it was a grassroots level.
Yeah.
And you've put it all together and it seems to be growing gangbusters.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's a national franchise, right? So it's a national company. So there's a model, right? There's a model if you follow it. But it doesn't mean you don't have to work it, right, to make it work.
So explain what that is, because I think some people don't know what Stroll Ledgeview is.
Yep. So it's a private monthly magazine that's target specific to a very small group of homeowners in a community. So Green Bay has two. We have Ledgeview and Thornberry and Indian Trails. Typically, the design is that they're a higher level of affluency. Every business in the community, if I say, hey, my magazine goes to the homeowners in Ledgeview, they typically know right where that is. So if it's another neighborhood that's maybe not as well known, that neighborhood isn't maybe deemed ready for a magazine yet. So it's demographically set by, not by me.
Right.
So let me steer the record straight for that.
But the analytics in sales these days is so, and Jim, you being a guy that's sold for a large part of your life, how much time is wasted when you realize, why did I go there? They didn't. There was no chance.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Politics, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to define where you're going. So you don't have like a magazine for the hood.
No, not yet. God. Not yet.
Astor Park would be a pretty good one to do, though.
It would. I mean, there's so much history there. Like the content there would be so fun.
Absolutely.
We just had our house walk. We talked about it on the show here, and we had 40 houses participate. And I just couldn't believe how many people just go to look at.
I went for my walk
not selling anything, you're not buying, you pay $10 and
for my walk the other day, once again, I cut up just to walk through some of those streets.
Yeah.
Because again, you drive past them, you don't notice them.
Right.
But when you walk and you look at the architecture some of those around the hospital, and
They're not
phenomenal.
They're not drive through streets.
No.
Right. Nobody drives on Quincy Jackson.
No. And
either bike or walk it, and that's very cool, very safe. But anyway, but your magazine is the Indian Trails.
Yep. Thornberry and Indian Trails. Thornberry. I don't own that one, but it's a sister publication.
I see. Okay.
We're not competitors. And then I own Ledgeview.
Okay.
So my job is to come in and I spend 50% of the time with the residents telling their stories because we only include stories written by and submitted by the residents. So the more people that want to participate that already get the magazine, the better.
Sure.
We do, because we want to feature as many different families as we can.
Nice.
But we also have to feature what we're given, right? So my call to action is, hey, the more families that respond when we need your kids, pets, stories, trips, travels, the better the magazine's going to be. Then the other side of it is the business partner side. And I'm very transparent. Jim and I talked about this on the podcast. My job is to make sure that more people in my neighborhood know about your business tomorrow than they did yesterday.
Right.
My job isn't to, if somebody doesn't want a pool, I'm not going to get them to buy a pool. That's not my job. My job is to make sure that when and if a business is needed, that your business will be considered because they've seen you so many times. And now there's a value of trust built in the magazine because they know I'm not just putting random businesses in there.
And talk about your podcast that you had Jim on.
Yeah, we're coming up on season three. We're kicking off season three in September with football. Like, that's the goal. We've realized it's hard to get together for the three of us. We're all busy parents. We're all business owners. It's been great. It's actually kind of, you guys get this, I'm sure, all the time. But now I've gotten, you know, several times where I'm walking around the community, they're like, hey, I listened to your podcast.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who they are.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. And then they'll usually tell me something that they've heard that's impacted them. And it starts a conversation about their business. And it's so fun for me. And usually those aren't even business partners of mine, right? They're not people that would be business partners of mine, but they're so sincere and passionate about what they do. And they're like, oh, hey, when you said this, it resonated. It didn't make me feel so alone in that.
What are people looking for in the podcast? I mean, what like if you're doing something and they get a compliment, you got to do that again upgrade it a little bit.
They really love it when we're really actually authentic and talk about our our balance and our lives and what's worked and what hasn't and our challenges and our triumphs and how we goal set and how it feels when you don't hit those goals. And they want to know that they're not alone in the battle. I think those are the ones that are the most listened to and complimented.
My trainer wants to start a podcast, and I said to him, look, don't be condescending. People don't, you want to hear about, like you just said, you know, hey, look, life's
tough. You don't
want
to hear everything I did the right way.
Life happens.
Yeah. You want to hear what was hard and how
cool.
you overcome.
Yeah. That'd be fun to listen to it.
And
they're
we're
all
honest.
People from your district?
No.
Oh,
no,
they're not. Okay.
To people that watch it or people that are on it.
Yeah.
No, anybody. I mean, we haven't really opened up what we're meeting actually September 3rd to say, what do we want in our guests? Like what value would that bring? Because we are about entrepreneurship, right? So we don't want the CEO of a bank in because it's not the same, right?
There, people that can really relate to it. And you know, I will say this, because reading a thing about no matter what age you are, if you're still working, you know, full time or whatever, the greatest thing you can do for yourself and for financial, just to put your mind at ease, is have a second stream of income.
Of course.
So many
How do you
people,
get those
exactly,
so quickly?
And for you, guy, I mean, you hit that audience.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of the people, when I lived in Ledgeview, and I knew so many.
They have Airbnbs and investment properties.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it used to be almost like, the poor guy has to work two jobs.
Oh.
Nowadays,
people
like,
brag
the poor
about
guy only
site.
Has one job.
Right.
Yeah. You're just getting that paycheck.
Exactly.
It also keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Which is healthy because there's some unhealthy things out there. And people brag about their side hustle.
Absolutely.
I think it's like Airbnb is like, I'm going to be doing that. Never done it before. But like, I'm going to tell people, I'm going to be very totally transparent. We rented our house. We made 15, 20, whatever we're going to make. But I think that's cool that people are willing to share that. And like Johnny said, they're not embarrassed about it. They're like, hey, look, I've got this side hustle and this is.
But don't you agree? Like when we were kids, if you knew somebody's dad was doing something else, it's like, oh boy.
Right.
Yeah.
They
that's
actually
too bad.
Knew more than we did.
Right.
Exactly.
I think.
He's working two
jobs.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting too.
His wife drinks.
Yeah. We have to support those bad. I can't even.
Never put those two together, but okay. Maybe that's what it was.
Back then,
about
today
that.
It's more fun.
I mean, and I think one of the topics that we touch on too is me being a mom. I'm a single mom with three kids and two adult children and not feeling guilty about what I do.
Right.
Like loving what I do and people relate to that. There's a lot of single moms out there that are starting jobs because they need the flexibility. So I think having that, you know, not to glorify my situation, because I don't want anyone to say, this looks great.
Yeah.
But to live in it and be happy with it.
Love it. Stay with us, okay?
Yeah.
We got to set a quick break. Mandy Wilkie, Area Director of Stroll Ledgeview. But just some great advice for people in your wheelhouse, so to speak. You know what I mean?
You.
You guys can all get together with this. You're in their wheelhouse.
I am.
Congratulations.
Talk about school.
Listen to the song he's playing for you.
Oh. That's what I was named after.
Really?
Yeah. 1976.
There you go. That's when I was born, too.
Yeah.
We guys had a quick break. Back at this. The night goes into morning just a welcome back. We are with Mandy Wilkie, Area Director of Stroll Ledgeview, who's, you know, you stepped out of the box and you told me about how when you got started and you didn't have a lot of extra cash and all these things. And talk a little bit about that, because, you know, everybody sees somebody. I shouldn't say everybody, but so often you see somebody like yourself was really successful doing something. And everybody says, I should have done that. Yeah. I can do that. But they don't see, again, we've used this term a lot, the curtain pulled back to see the true story, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was not, it's never easy to start a business, right?
Right.
And it's certainly not easy to do that in the middle of a divorce because there's a lot going on. I think it was funny because the person that hired me and then she was my mentor, which I wouldn't be where I am without her pushing me. I didn't always like her. I say to her now, I adore her, but at the time I didn't really like her that much.
Took you out of a comfort zone, I'll bet, huh?
Yeah, and held me accountable and pushed. And let me have my bad days, but didn't let me have excuses, right? So I think there's a difference between that. And she would give me like a minute, and then she'd be like, all right, now move on, right? Like, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going, which is so important because there's going to be times as an entrepreneur you want to quit. I mean, it's easier to quit than it is to keep going.
Right.
But once you get through to the other side. So she told me it would be the hardest thing that I would ever do in my life to start this business in this franchise and with this model. Because you're selling a concept, essentially, that is unfamiliar to everybody around. And you don't have your own magazine with your own stories and your own local community in it. And nobody's paved the way. There's no other businesses that are doing it yet. So everyone's like, well, let's wait and see who she gets. Right. So it was tough, but it was not the hardest thing I've ever done. Cause I've been through some hard stuff. But yeah, it was, if you follow the model, when you have a model, it works.
What's the thing? And Jim, I'm sure kids ask you, or I shouldn't say kids, people ask you this in your classes. What is that breaking point between I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this versus I can do this, I can't do this, yeah. I can't do this?
A couple things. Well, and one is to quit is always an option.
Yeah.
To do nothing's always an option.
Always.
It's not the right one, but it's always an option. Mm-hmm. So don't say I can't. Yeah, you can get out of this.
Turn your can't into can-dos.
Right, but mm-hmm. but you're going to lose X amount of money. But you know, if it's affecting that's an option. But to stay with it, it's really a customer saying something that's like, this is awesome. You're onto mm-hmm. something here.
Right,
like that is just fuel to keep
so
you
good.
Going. And you really want to make sure that your spouse, your partner, is in on it,
because mm-hmm.
you don't want to come home and.
I didn't have one, so that was easy.
Okay, well, you have the mirror.
But yeah. He probably would have talked me out of it. To be honest.
The other thing is, when you start making money, that's a lot of incentive to keep going.
That's for me. Is there that point where it's like, holy crap?
Yeah,
this is working. What's that feeling like? That's gonna be amazing.
It's unbelievable. I can remember that like yesterday. Yeah. But anyway, I was my brother. I worked with my brother. We had a factory. We weren't making money the first year.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Our board's like, well, that's fine. It's like, no, I don't think that's fine. But we just started. Things started coming in. And when the reorders come, is when you know you're doing the right thing, because everybody had test your product. Oh, you're a nice guy. You're from Green Bay. You know, we like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, I remember him just getting this. He goes, this is going to work.
Wow.
And then but it takes years to get it working. But.
And even as an entrepreneur, when we hit those peaks, you got to remember that there might be a valley coming too.
Totally.
So you can't get too comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can't spend too
working.
Much money too fast.
Yeah.
Not that we ever made that mistake and got a skybox.
Never.
Like,
yeah. No, never.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That happens too, though.
I think for me, there was a breaking point, and I did almost quit. I had a couple people in my corner that I had gone to when I started, and I said, if I come to you and say I want to quit, talk me out of it.
Oh.
And so I had those people, and I went to them a few times. They talked me out of it. But the big thing was that mentor that I had, that one that I didn't like very much, she's like, will you just record a meeting? And I was like, no, I do not need you micromanaging me. And I had the wrong mindset.
Right.
So finally I was meeting with Zeller Ski Shop, and
sure.
It was a bad day. It was a bad day for me. I had a court date that day, and so I'm like, what else do I have to lose today? So I went in, I threw my phone down. I said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to record this. I'm trying to get better at what I do. He probably thought I was insane. I said, so I'm going to send it to my coach. So I threw it down. I hit record, and I went through the whole presentation, and I sent it to her. And it was very interesting, and I'll share this little tip. So if you meet with me and you hear me use this word, you can correct me. But we're not supposed to use the word you and your business. Your business is a good fit for my magazine. I'm not supposed to use the word your. I'm supposed to say when a business is a good fit or if a business is a good fit.
Ah, I got you.
I'm supposed to keep it vague, right? Because if I'm suggesting that you should be my partner, mm-hmm. I'm going to sound more desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I'm saying is, no, a good fit for what I do is this. Do you fall in that category? If you do great, I'll consider you. If you don't, fine. But after I recorded that and sent it to her, and she's like, Mandy, you said you 9 times. And we're not supposed to say it at all. I'm like, okay, done. And that week, I actually partnered with 9 people.
Yeah.
And I had nobody partner with me for 2 months prior to that. So,
wow.
So my advice to somebody is get out of your own way. Like, don't not record something because you're so worried about someone critiquing you if they're really trying to help you. They're really trying to say, hey, let me, because I sounded desperate because I was getting to the end. And I was like, this isn't going to work. And she's like, switch your mindset. And so I think if I can give that piece of advice for young entrepreneurs, not even young, because I was 40, I don't know. I was 42 when I started this. Just be willing to let people give you feedback and don't take it as criticism, but take it as catapulting you to the next level.
And the chances are, when you really think about it, that person probably went through the same thing. You know, it was probably
100%.
Exactly.
She didn't design the wheel. You know, it was like, this is something that we just needed to work.
And I think
through.
It's important that people, like, even I teach at TC, but there's a lot of people that are going for another career. You know, and, mm-hmm. and they're in their 40s. We had some people even older than that, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I'm like, man, thanks for being here. This is awesome, because they weren't real, real happy being whatever.
Life's too short to
CNA
be miserable.
Or something like that. And they want to get into something else. It's mm-hmm. like, look, I just set yeah, mine's a very introductory class on business, but I'm like, look, this can be a real opportunity for you. And so it I think, well, you got to encourage people. And I think your magazine just shares some of those stories like, hey, this can work. And
I think they're like, and I don't know how much time we have, so I want to be really mindful, but yesterday I was at a coffee shop and there was a group of, I think there was five of them, five older people. And I was on a Zoom call and I had a table, a 6-seat table, right? And they were packed into this one. I'm like, do you guys want me to switch? And they're like, no, it's fine. It's good. Then afterwards I said, hey, I would have switched with you. And they were the cutest people. And they're like, we're fine. We're retired. And I'm like, well, you don't have to rub it in my face. That's what I said.
Eventually that table opened
right?
up.
Right. So. And he actually, they were up from Plymouth. He brought his VW van up and they're going to have it at the automobile gallery over the winter. So they were coming up, they were road tripping. We got to chit chatting and I said, listen, you know, they asked me what I did and they're like, you seem like you really love it. And I said, the one gentleman said, your face lit up when you told us. And I said, that's what everybody's day to day should be.
Yeah.
Like, I love community. I love what I do. I love being around people. It fuels me. And I don't know that there'll ever be a time in my life where I don't work, because there was a time in my life where I didn't work and that didn't turn out so well for me. I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I didn't have purpose. So I think it's okay to try different things. It's okay to dabble in different things. Mm-hmm. You have to do it in a way that's not going to provide risk to your family, unless you're me, then provide all the risk. But I think if that can be encouragement for somebody too, that's trying to get through a life that maybe they're not in love with. So
that's awesome.
I think that's great advice. And I just want to plug for school. I mean, there's people who have gone from pre-professional jobs to being working with flowers. What is that, horticulturist?
Yeah.
Get their degree in that. I mean, TC offers, what, I don't know, 110 degrees or something like that. But that's great advice. And really in life, we want to be happy, right? Isn't that the ultimate goal? You got to define it, but, you know. Yeah.
I want to be a crane operator at B&B down in Newton.
And I'm going to do radio when I retire.
Give yourself a plug on the podcast.
Yeah, podcast is Real Chat Podcast. You can find it anywhere the podcasts are. We'll be launching season 3 mid-September. So watch
the name again one more time.
Real Chat Podcast.
Real Chat Podcast. Right, this is outstanding. Mandy, thanks for coming on and sharing all the stuff that you've gone through. This is great.
Love it.
We got to set a quick break. Teddy Stefaniak will be joining us to talk about tonight's big game. Back after this.
App today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here on a beautiful Thursday morning on WGBW and WISS. Special thanks to Mandy Wilkie, Area Director of Stroll Ledgeview, and check out her podcast. That thing sounds great, doesn't it, Todd?
Absolutely. And Jim's been on that podcast. Now, you and I need to get on.
I know. I don't know why she invites Jim all the time and not us. Any idea, Jim?
Looks.
You're more of an entrepreneur kind of guy.
What's that?
Well, you can't say looks. If I'm involved, yeah, you can say looks, but not Todd.
That is true.
Not right, Todd.
I take it back.
No.
Okay.
Let's talk to this.
Anyway, that was a great She has a great podcast. I hope people tune into that. Like she said, it's really honest, transparent. This isn't easy, but this is worth it.
I mean, cool. You know, so many times you could have somebody come out and they act like, what I have done is just unbelievable, and things are going just great. And I like the fact that she says, hey, I was going through a divorce, I didn't have any money, had kids, yada, yada, but still had the courage to do something like that and persevere and turn it into a success. I think that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Talk about a guy that persevered. This guy grew up in the mean streets of South Chicago. Okay.
That's
was
tough.
In a gang when he was young. Had to get a tattoo removed from his neck and a teardrop tattoo removed before he got into TV.
Wow.
And now he comes off as like.
You can still see that teardrop a little bit.
If the lights are on, right?
I know.
I tell him that sometimes.
I know. It's like, dude,
Teddy,
you did
a little something. A little makeup.
Yes, honey, he did kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're in prison.
That's
Ted Stefaniak.
That's not me, and that's not true.
Oh, okay. It's the next guy.
So many times over the last 22 years, Ted and I have been working together on his bracket. It's like, that's not true.
That is not true, absolutely.
But part of it is true, right? You're Southside, right? You're Southside Chicago guy, though, right?
No, I'm not. Around the lake, it couldn't be more different.
I thought that was true. I didn't think the whole thing was false.
I meant South Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. All right.
South Milwaukee.
All right, there you go, Round Lake.
Yeah, we're closer okay. to South Milwaukee than we are.
All right, all right. Let's get on to why you're here.
You got a border town. Border town, Northern Illinois.
Exactly.
Big night tonight.
Huge night. A little Thursday night high school football for you on Sports Showdown presented by Bell and Health as we've got number 3 Kimberly visiting number 8 Bayport, a big non-conference matchup.
Ted, I was going through the things. I got up real early this morning, so I thought I'd put together the the stats and different things like that. I did the offensive line for both teams, and I got to dig out. You and I have talked about this numerous times. I want to dig out the Packers starting offensive line the last time they won the Super Bowl. It's got to be really close. I mean, we're talking 6'6", 275, 6'5", 290. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Ted? The size of the offensive line.
There's a couple of Bayport kids that are already committed to college next year.
Yeah.
Just big guys and among the very best offensive linemen in the state.
Yeah. The one 6'5", 285, going to like North Dakota State. And just, wow. Yeah. Yeah. The one tight end is like 6'7", 240.
One going to each of those schools.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are big time schools. I mean, North Dakota State opens with Colorado this year. I mean, it's incredible.
It's great to see the kids, whether they're going to a school like that or a D3 school in state, getting that opportunity to play at the next level is certainly awesome. But right now, I think the only thing they're thinking about is week 2 for Bayport, and this is actually week 1
right
for Kimberly, and they're just getting their season off and then trying to win conference championships again and make their way to Madison.
But I like the fact that these two teams don't have to play each other, but they're playing each other.
I think it helps both of them.
I do too.
When you get deeper into the playoffs, you've got that experience, and the conferences, the very top of those conferences are really good, but some of the bottom teams in those conferences aren't as strong and don't necessarily help you prepare for those playoff games. And you're talking about two programs that are legitimate threats to get to Madison and play for a state championship.
Yeah.
Ted, somebody who doesn't follow high school football, because they just don't, and they don't watch it, like, give us some reasons why to tune into that. I mean, the biggest reason I can give you, this is local talent you're watching. I think that is just cool in and of itself. I love when I know, my neighbor kid plays, and we just like watching him because he's our neighbor. But, I mean, I think that's a pretty cool thing to do on Friday night. And for those who aren't tuned in, what's the draw?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Jim. I mean, you're talking about, hey, my neighbor kid's playing. We're seeing kids in our community, whether they're football players or the dance team or the band, friends in the stands, and they're seeing all this excitement going on. And, hopefully they're thinking, well, gosh, I got to get to a game and see this team. They're playing so well. There are people that we know there. It's a Friday night. There's nothing like a Friday night, especially if the weather's nice, to be out in the stands cheering on those hometown kids. And if you can't make it, we've been providing, high school football games since 1999 on WACY. So, it's a pretty cool experience. It's great for the kids. And, we roll out the truck we always said it's kind of like an ESPN production with the graphics, with the replays, and with John Minow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, Teddy, something else that we're talking about. Yesterday we talked about, actually we had Len Nelson in here too, and we're talking about high school bands, and Todd was in the high school band, Len Nelson was in the high school band, you were in the high school band, right, Jim? Almost all of them, but if you come there just for the halftime entertainment and pre-entertainment, you're going to see some extremely talented kids on that football field who aren't wearing helmets and shoulder pads.
Absolutely. It was great last week when we were at Green Bay Preble.
Yep.
I mean, school hasn't even started yet, but the whole band was there. The whole dance team was there. It was the full show. So, I mean, they're just getting into their school year. And then you see, once they get into the school year, even more kids are involved in different events throughout the game.
That's awesome. It's entertainment from start to finish. It really and truly is.
And it is, and I know you guys talk a lot about, the atmosphere being there, but like, it's okay to watch at home too with, because you guys are entertaining and like you said, it's local talent you're watching and it's just different than movies and all this other stuff that's on TV.
And I'll tell you something, Ted, I'm sure you've gotten this a million times and we both have. Somebody will come up to me, Mino, you did our game in, I had it the other day, 1998.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People don't forget. You realize, and like I was telling you, Jim, when, the other day, one of these people at the thing said, hey, you did our benefit and right. such and so. You did. People always remember stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And for the good or the bad, but they remember. It makes an impact. And that's why, you know, one of the things that I always say, I try to get out as many names as possible. I want somebody to be able to hear their name. Because I told you, I had a kind of a tragic experience with that the first time I did a sporting event on TV. It was cable access up in Marquette and playing fast pitch softball. And before the game, the guy asked me a little bit about our team and everything, you know, how you do it. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm the catcher, probably the best player on the team. I'm hitting so-and-so. Nobody steals on me. Nobody steals on me. Okay? Do this whole thing?
I believe that interview.
This is an honest-to-God true story.
Yeah, I'm so far.
So then we all get together to watch the game at one of the buddies' houses. Everybody's there. Everybody's watching. And I, like, strike out for the second. And the guy, this is the honest guy. A cable access guy says, well, John Mino certainly talked a big game of the dugout, but he certainly has performed on the field.
That serves you right,
what?
Man. That
we're sitting
you right.
there. It's like, what? Wow. What did they just say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we
think that would have humbled you, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But still, I think that
made me worse.
I think it did too.
Made me defiant. Wow. But that's why you don't want to
draw negative.
No
negative comments towards the kids.
No, we never do.
You are doing a game, and there are good plays and bad plays and mistakes that people make, and that's all part of the game. But you don't want to go out of your way to say anything negative or try to hurt anybody's feelings. That is never our intention.
No, and that happened to me. It scarred me for life, and that's what I carry with me.
Still pretty impressionable.
Isn't that amazing? I can see it like it was yesterday.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah, I think we've all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
Teddy, once again tonight. Bayport and Kimberly. We had a great game the other night, starting off with Oshkosh West and Preble as they kicked off their new Gothier Field, which was just a spectacular place, great atmosphere. One of the things, though, Teddy, I even talked about here on the show, you know, you can look at their records last year, you know, 1-8 for Preble, 4-5 for Oshkosh West, and you think, well, that's going to be a, you know, whatever. Man, that was hard-hitting, playing their butts off, I mean, right to the last second of the game. That was a great high school football game. And what I'm saying is a lot of times, I don't care about their records. Watch these kids play. Watch what they put into it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we try to find matchups that'll be competitive games. And like we talked about last week, you mentioned the records of those two teams last year. Typically, you wouldn't necessarily go out of your way to find, you know, a 1-8 versus a 4-5. But we need to make sure that we're adding some additional teams from the area to get those kids on, get those communities on. So, you know, we have a few teams that get additional showing. So we'll see Bayport and Kimberly later this season. But again, we're talking about two of the best teams in the state. So we try to show them as much as we can, but again, also not forgetting about some of those other communities, those other kids. And we try to rotate it as much as we can year to year.
Very got cool. A text here. The M&M game is this week up in Marinette. We actually used to talk about trying to get a signal from up there. Remember, Ted? It was kind of sketchy.
We did one game up there years ago. I think it was a playoff game.
In Marinette.
And
I want to say they played Two Rivers. Marinette against Two Rivers on a rainy, foggy night. And we were sitting like in the second row of the press box, and we had to keep asking people in front of us to wipe off the windows. Remember? Because we couldn't see.
You know.
Well, and people at home had trouble too because it was so windy. And back then we had to rely on our microwave antenna tower.
Yeah.
This antenna that was
up on blowing in the wind.
30 feet in the air, just blowing in the wind, and we could barely keep a signal on the air because the wind was blowing that transmitter so hard. And we don't have to rely on that technology anymore. So, yeah, I mean, maybe getting back up there and a little further out. Last year we made it to Ripon.
That's right. That's right.
Todd, it's funny listening, you know, Johnny's just talking about, oh, you know, these people come up to me and say, do you remember this? And I'm like, no, and your recall in your games. Well, we were in the second row, and I mean, it means a lot to you too. It means a lot to the fans.
It means a lot to you guys too. No question.
And I think that's cool. And I think that's the whole thing with just sports in and of itself. People remember certain games, but I think that's great if it's a positive impact. That too is just cool
stuff.
You're right. So you have pretty good recall for that. If you remember. Two rows up, wiping off the windows.
We could do a podcast on games and weird things, huh? Couldn't we, Ted?
Yeah. Well, I think you can better than I can. You've got such a great photographic memory. I have a hard time remembering things, what I ate for breakfast an hour ago. But you, my friend, have that photographic
how
memory.
How much sauerkraut was on this? You know what? He's got it all.
You know what Ted's favorite thing is? When I throw trivia about something, because you love that too when I do that in here. Okay, who is the guy?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, Ted loves that.
I think it'd be great. It would be a great podcast to get all the people John has worked with, but without John on the podcast. So you could all share stories about working with him. Wouldn't that be great?
Do that at my eulogy.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be a little long.
We'll do an old Dean Martin roast on you, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Right. No question. Well, Teddy, tell him when we're going to be on the air tonight, brother.
Yeah, 7 o'clock on WACY TV 32. It's a sports showdown presented by Bell and Health. And again, number 3 Kimberly visiting number 8 Bayport. Thursday night football, high school football tonight.
And we will not have a game on Friday night this week.
No game on Friday. And we won't be broadcasting a high school football game next week either, due to the fact that we've got the Packers on NBC 26 a week from Friday. We'll not be broadcasting a game on September 6th as well.
All right.
So we'll got to tune in tonight. That's going to be fun. Thursday night football.
It's good. You imagine how many people are going to be at that game tonight?
I mean, it'll be packed.
What does Bayport hold? I don't even know what it holds, but it will be filled an hour before game time, probably.
And I think it's going to be pretty crowded in the press box, too. There's a lot of interest in this one, John.
Absolutely. I can't wait, Ted. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Teddy Stefaniak, sports showdown coming your way on a unique Thursday night game tonight, but with two of the best teams in the state of Wisconsin, Bayport hosting Kimberly. We'll have it for you.
Do they do that? Is somebody favored? Or do they do that?
No, Jim. There are no odds in high school sports.
I was just asking. Why?
Because it's all financial with you.
But I just was curious.
Todd.
Todd. Really... I was asking if there's odds. I think a lot of people said, I'm glad Schmidt asked
that.
A lot of people said, are there?
How many people are thinking that? How many people were thinking out there? Like, I wonder if there are odds on tonight's game. Let's see.
I think the word that came into mind was intervention time.
Been through it.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I got to get back.
Quick break. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mirror here on a Thursday morning, heading into Labor Day weekend.
That text is
funny. I got a text here.
I was thinking 9, but...
I have 10 bucks on Kimberly based on the weather. Okay, thank you very much.
10 points.
Oh, is it 10 points? Okay.
I don't know. That's why I want to read the odds. I don't know.
All right.
Conditions, coaching. There's a whole lot that goes into this, John. This isn't just picking your favorite team. So
it's like with the Derby, this horse is a mutter. That one's a dry track. The whole thing. Yeah. Hey, that sport has really dropped in popularity. Don't you think? Well, I think that thing with all those horses dying has really...
Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't help. Yeah.
That's too bad.
It is, because that is a fun sport.
Two things that, when I was a kid, or my formative years, whatever you want to call it, that were super huge, that just aren't as big anymore. One was the Kentucky Derby, and the other is the Indy 500. And I know that aficionados are still, big with them, but it's not as big as it used to be. I mean, I bet I could have named minimum 50 to 60% of the field in 1968 or 69 or 70, but when it was Mario Andretti and Gordon Johncock and, all those guys, the Unsers, now I just don't know any of them.
But what else has dropped off, I think, is boxing.
Oh, there isn't any anymore.
I know, right? I mean, and we grew up with boxing.
That was so big.
But our parents grew up with a lot of boxing.
Yes. I still remember the Saturday Night Fight, remember? Yeah. From Madison Square Garden, Floyd Patterson against Pretty Boy Floyd in a welterweight battle. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Right. Leonard, too, was in there. There's a lot of...
Brought to you by Gillette.
But, there was a couple of reasons. One is that it was such a violent sport. I think some people didn't like that. But I think...
MMA is even more violent.
I think that's what happened. We got more into it, and it had to be more extreme.
Yeah.
So the extremeness took over what
boxing was. I think so, too. You know, boxing, say what you want. I mean, it's the art of boxing, really. I mean, when it comes right down to it with, you know, with what, like when I, you know, I just used to do, you know, work out at that boxing thing. And the guy said, you want to get the ring and whatever. I said, yeah. He says, okay, first I'm going to spend 2 weeks teaching you how to not get killed. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. He goes, no, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Right.
Because that's the thing about boxing people don't realize. It can be such a, the number one thing is protecting yourself before you ever throw a punch. So, I mean, there really is an artistry to it.
Would you guys ever do like a boxing match?
All I'm saying is the two of you?
Throw you in a ring?
I don't know. Have you ever boxed? Did you really box?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a tough sport.
You get so out of breath so fast, it's mind-boggling.
That's why those guys jump, bro.
So like 30 seconds, maybe you guys could
Yeah, maybe. Right. I'm not even kidding. But if you throw some punches, you'd be amazed how tired you get.
I think the other reason that is that it's such an easy game to fix.
Well, you take a dive type thing?
Yeah.
The mob controlled it terribly.
You only got to pay one guy. Like in basketball, you might have to pay a couple. Football,
well, in basketball,
hard.
I'll tell you what. One of the hardest things was guys, when the bookie would say, okay, you know, lose by, you know, more than four or whatever. No. It was hard because the other team would start missing shots.
Right.
I mean, it was really hard. I mean, this one guy from Arizona State did a big expose. He went to prison.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? They
can't
looked
take
at,
points off the board.
They
you know?
Looked at film after film and game after game, and they couldn't find a single play where it's like, okay.
Obvious.
Yes. You know what he admitted to?
I'm trying to think of
that. That nobody noticed. On defense, he would give his guy like an extra 6 inches to get his shot
off. And that would do it.
And
sure.
that would do it versus him missing shots intentionally. He found it so the other guy would make shots.
So, okay, yeah. See, that's, yeah. I just think that boxing, though, was, I think that's another reason boxing went away. I think violence, but also, you know, I think some people lost a lot of money because it was fixed.
And well, it was. Like but the thing is then, too, another thing, Al King?
No. Get out the hair.
Yeah.
Don King.
Don King. Okay, it got to the point where he got so powerful. I mean, he controlled that entire sport. He controlled every single thing.
Right.
And he wouldn't, he had guys in their prime, and he wouldn't let them box. He would hold off, so he could make billions on the, what did it used to be, it was like the pay-per-view, really, that's what got pay-per-view started, was the big boxing matches. And you'd have to go to a movie theater or a bar to watch these big fights. So he was making so much money. But he kind of destroyed the sport because he wasn't putting these great matchups that everybody wanted to see. He wasn't doing it.
Oh,
Jim would say that's capitalism, though.
Yeah,
he's making his money. He doesn't care about the sport or the people.
I guess I used to love boxing. I covered it extensively down in the Flint and Tucson areas. I loved it. I could name every welterweight that was a contender. Mustafa Hamshu, Nino Benvenuti.
Oh.
I could go on and on. Alexis Arguello. In fact, I could tell you something funny. So when I was at the B&B metal shop the other day, the salvage yard in Newton, and they said, so-and-so is going to check out your car for the catalytic converter and stuff. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, good. You know, I said, where are you from? He goes, Nicaragua. I said, oh. You ever hear of Alexis Arguello? He goes, oh, it was our national. He was a boxer that used to cover. He used to train in Tucson.
Yeah, but they're not here anymore.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
You got a thing here. Chuck from Green Bay. I would go to Cincinnati Gardens to watch boxing on closed circuit TV.
Wow.
It's exactly right, Chuck.
Wow.
It's exactly right.
Yeah. So that other thing you're talking about, what is it?
MMA.
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like.
Joe Rogan's in on that stuff too, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. He was like commissioner. I mean, he's like one of the
like
big
Don
time.
Don King.
Dana
basically.
White and him. And,
yep.
Yeah. Big time guys. I mean, big time guys.
You could start betting on that, Jim.
No, I don't want to do that.
Although, did you see that boxing match tonight? Was it Conor McGregor? McGregor against Manny Pacquiao? And Pacquiao won?
Well, John, nobody knows who either of those people are. So. Anyway, that's nice. So boxing,
know who Conor McGregor and Manny Pacquiao are.
I know Conor, for sure.
Manny Pacquiao used to be a great boxer. Remember?
Mm.
You don't remember?
Mm-mm. All right. Isn't Trump in that?
Dana White and Trump are very big friends.
I do know who Manny is. I just looked him up. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Anyway, that's
that's Jim's way of saying not interesting. Not,
yeah, Jim's way of saying like couldn't care less. Who's next?
That is interesting. True. I'm looking at the clock. 7:57, 34, 35. Okay,
let's get out of this,
Mino. All right. Well, please. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, we talk about sports that are growing, declining.
Right.
Obviously, nothing's growing more than the NFL. I mean, and that's going to be worldwide someday. It won't slow down. I still think, I know they want to build a worldwide, you know, conference, but
don't ruin it.
I'm saying it's going to be tough, and it's tough on the players. You know, that traveling, everybody says, well, what's, you know, but I mean, it's still, it's a different time zone. It's, I don't know, but that's what they want to do.
I was watching a show last night. Chris Roth has a good show with a bunch of sports writers that I know and everything. Rob Domofsky is one of them, Jason Wilde. But they were talking about, like, when the Packers played in, like, England last year, they had to start shipping equipment over on June 1st. It took a ship, a cargo plane, and all this stuff for one football game.
Right.
Goalposts, they had to ship everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they took soccer to everything. They converted the whole stadium.
All right, we got to set a quick break. Lawrence Nikodem.
Nikodem.
Yes. We'll be here. Celebrate Recovery Month. Back right after this.